Mom gave it to you. Pearl?
My grandmother named you.
Your grandmother named you.
She liked
the name Pearl. Was it in the family before? Was there anyone else in the family, your great grandmother, anybody named Pearl? Uh-oh. Like Ruby? Anybody know what your name means? Anybody here have any idea? Jacob?
Deceiver.
Deceiver.
I didn't know that.
You just liked the name, didn't you, Carol? Yeah. Anybody else? You know what your name means? There he is. Back. Yeah. There he is.
Well, my name is a variant of Darius, which means upholder of good.
Upholder of good. Brother West said depends on what time of day it is. Brother Harry.
This is pure coincidence. I was named after my mother's one brother that was a millionaire, but I didn't get anything. He's gone.
So you weren't named about hurry up and come out. In our culture, names are what we use to identify ourselves. We get to be known because of our name. We don't give very much importance, as you can see, to the meaning. A lot of times we name our children after somebody else, you know. I was with Brother Wolf the other day. They were talking to a doctor, and Roy was there. And he said the doctor was asking about how many was in the family. And he said, four boys. Richard. Ron. Roy. And Ray. And when they all go in the restaurant together, they tell the waitress, this is our wolf, this is our wolf, this is our wolf, and this is our wolf. In the days of Jesus, names were seen as a symbol of divine destiny. Look how things have changed. Few examples. Nehemiah. You read about him in the Bible? His name means consoled by God. Jeremiah. Exalted by God. Wow. Isaiah. God is salvation. Jacob. Little better than deceiver, supplanter. And how many of you ladies would like to be called Delilah? Small, poor, or head of hair. When God sent His Son, He chose the perfect name. He just didn't name Him anything at all. Pick a name out of a book. He gave Him the perfect name, Jesus. God also gave Him some other titles. And in that first session that the angel of the Lord had with Mary, He actually gave him two names. Let's read about it in Matthew 1. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgins will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. God's selected name for his earthly son, Jesus. Savior. He will save. What would you do if a name had been given to you like that? You will save. The Hebrew form is Joshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. He is the Savior. So the whole embodiment of the name of Jesus was to represent his divine destiny to be a Savior. The idea of salvation here is the idea of deliverance, being saved from a terrible disaster that leads to perishing. So the emphasis of his name carries with it the very thought that this child, his divine destiny, is to interfere with destiny, a terrible disaster that is pronounced upon the human race, that they will not perish. How about the meaning of that name? We see it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, what God is saying, without Jesus, without this child, the whole world would perish. Every inhabitant of the world was destined to perish. We've been studying the fall of Adam and Eve on Wednesday night, and the fact that their one decision to disobey God caused death. Oh, the devil, he said to Eve, "You shall not surely die." But God told them, "The day you eat of the fruit of this tree, you shall surely die." And the day they ate of the tree, God came back to the garden and found Adam and Eve hiding. And there, that day, he denounced their wickedness, their sinfulness, their disobedience, and pronounced the sentence of death, perishing upon all mankind. Who will he save from perishing? Who is it? Is he going to save the whole world from perishing? Will everybody not perish because he came as a Savior? Who is it that he will save? His people is what the angel told Joseph. He will save his people, which infers that all people are not his people. Do you know anybody that doesn't belong to Jesus? Jesus himself said one day, there's two roads. There is a broad road that leads to destruction, to perishing. And he said, there are many that are on it. And a narrow road that leads to eternal life, but few that find it. Sister Christine, could I have you move over one seat so that I can see you? Marcia's hiding you there.
I'm not sleeping.
I know you're not sleeping, but I like to see everybody. That was bugging me for a while. Thank you. For us to think about the fact that the few of us that are here in this church this morning are some of those that are on the narrow path. The path that leads to eternal life. But to think about the majority of people in the world. Do you know in this world they now say that we are close to having 1 billion Christians. 1 billion. That's a lot of people, hey? 1 billion Christians. Now, I'm not so sure that all 1 billion of those are saved. They go under the title of Christianity. But do you know what that means? There are 6 billion who are not Christians, who are on the broad road leading to destruction. And so Jesus' name means that he will save only his people. Jesus said, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So this is a discussion that Jesus is in here, and he's saying to some people, you are not my sheep, because you do not follow me. And those that do not follow him, he will not save from perishing. Remember that John 3:16? He said that whosoever believes in him should not perish. So all of those who do not believe in him will perish. But his name represents salvation to reach out to whoever will believe in him. You see, those who are not following Christ have the opportunity to do so. Amen? Those who are not accepting Christ, that other 6 billion people in the world, whatever they're following, have the opportunity and the choice to turn around and begin to follow Jesus. And once they do, they switch from perishing to not perishing. But you see, He's only going to save. What that really means is that it, when it comes to the judgment day, you remember that story that Jesus told, that He'll be sitting on the throne and the nations will come up before Him, and He'll say to those on His right hand, "Welcome, enter into the presence of the Lord. When I was hungry, when I was naked, when I was in prison, when I was sick." You remember that story? He'll invite them in. But all of those on His left hand, all of those who did not follow Him, He will say to them what? "Depart from Me." Oh my, what a separation. So the only ones He is going to save from perishing are those who believe. But thank God, He came to save. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The only ones He can save from perishing are those who believe in Him. What will He save them from? He'll save them from the power of sin. Anybody here understand what the power of sin is? How many of you decided, "I'm not going to do that. I am absolutely refused to do that," but you turned around and did it anyhow? The power of sin to draw. How many here have sinned and come short of the glory of God? All have sinned, says the Word, and come short of the glory of God. The reason we sin is because of the power, the pull of sin. And there is pleasure in sin for a season, right? You can go to Mountain Gate today and you can eat more than what you should eat. That's the power of gluttony. But you can also go there and only eat what you should eat. Amen? And that's the power over gluttony. So He will save His people, the ones who believe in Him, from the power of sin. How many times have you seen someone who's addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, addicted to the things of this world, to the pleasures of sin? And you question in your mind, why do you go back and do it again? Why do you keep on doing that? Why do you keep tearing your body down, tearing down your reputation and destroying? It is because of the power of sin. But I want you to know that inherent within the name of Jesus is the ability, hallelujah, to save us from the power of that sin.
Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He can save us from the bondage of sin. Have any of you ever been tied up? You ever been tied up, Brother Bill? Has Edna ever tied you up? I know she's got you emotionally tied up. Bondage. Can't get loose. You're into something and you can't get out. We used to play cowboy and Indians. How many used to play cowboy and Indians? One of these Sundays after church, we're all going to go out here in the woods and play cowboy and Indians. Live our second childhood. Yeah, it would be fun, wouldn't it? Not today, though. We used to tie them up, catch them, and tie them fast to a tree. Bondage. Do you know somebody that's bound? They can't help themselves. They're under the pressures of sin and sinful lifestyle. They're bound to where they're at, and it takes something to break them loose. I've seen people come to God and they were bound by their sins. And so it took the blood of Jesus and it took the power of Christ to break those bonds. And I've heard them get up from the altar and say, "Praise God, I'm free."
Yes. Amen.
Free.
Amen.
From the bondage of sin. Free from the guilt of sin. Oh my. Have you ever felt guilty? You don't need to raise your hand, but have you ever felt guilty?
Amen.
You know you shouldn't have done that. You know you were wrong. You said something to your spouse, and you knew when you said it, "I'm in the doghouse now." But you did something that God says you wasn't supposed to do. And you knew it. And sometimes people live under that guilt. I remember the testimony of a man who came to Christ. And he gave his heart to the Lord. And after he got up from the altar and praying and God had saved him, he stood up and he said, "Was anybody in here tonight hurt? Crushed by a load?" They couldn't understand what he was talking about. He said, "The burden of guilt that fell off of me tonight is enough to crush the ordinary person." Jesus had reached down and saved him from his guilt. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you can lay your head on your pillow at night with a clear conscience? You can go to bed and you can say, "Good night, Lord. I'll see you in the morning." And sleep all night because there's nothing disturbing your mind with your actions. And last of all, he came to save them from the consequences of their sin. Sometimes we don't see the end result. I stood by the bedside of people who smoked for 50 years and listened to the gurgle in their lungs as they drew their last breath, the consequences of that sin. I've sat in the courtroom and I've listened to the judge strike the gavel and pronounce the sentence. Take them away. 50 years in prison. A lifetime. The consequences of their lifestyle. Consequences of their sin. I made mention to you a while ago that all of us, the Bible said, Jesus said, all of us will stand individually before the throne of Jesus Christ and the books will be open and the book will be opened. And everybody whose name is in the book will come and stand before God. And their name will be read. And this book will be opened. And God will judge every individual according to what is written in this book. The consequences of not living according to this book is, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I know you not. Jesus came to deliver us from that consequence. Hallelujah! He came to change us from that side, or that when we stand before God, we will not hear the consequences of our past sins. But He has saved us from perishing, and He will look down and say to us, "Come, my friend, enter into the kingdom that I have prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Paul said in Titus, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," hallelujah, "he is a new creation." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." "Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new." Hallelujah. Shout, somebody shout, for the name Jesus. He saves us.
Thank you, Jesus.
From the consequences of our sin. In saving us from sin, He saves us from the curse and the wrath that comes with the judgment of sin. Oh, listen. Listen to Him in Matthew. "The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will remove from His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Is that true?
Yes.
There's a church at the road on Robinwood Drive, sits up on the hill, and they tell you there is no such thing as eternal fire. They will tell you there is no such thing as eternal punishment. But Jesus Christ said it Himself. Matthew 25 again. "Then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" The church out the road, tear that scripture out of their Bible or give it another meaning. But Jesus said it, didn't He?
Yes, He did.
All of those on the left hand, all of them, mothers, daughters, sons, fathers, presidents, kings, poor people, slaves, anybody who does not follow the name of Jesus, they will take them, as Jesus says, pronounce a sentence, "Depart from me," and they will cast them into, what does He say? Everlasting fire.
Yes.
That was originally prepared for the devil and his angels. You and I that accept Him, those who believe in Him, as John 3:16 says, those who believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All in His name. One other name given here by God, we'll quickly consider it, Emmanuel. When we started Emmanuel Chapel in the founding business meetings, my mother spoke up and said, "We want to call it Jonathan Lay Revival Center. And I said, no way. Yep, I disobeyed my mother. I resisted that. I said, this is not about somebody here on this earth. This is about Emmanuel.
Yes. Amen.
And so that original group selected Emmanuel Chapel, signifying God with us.
Hallelujah.
Or He is God manifest in the human flesh, the Son of God, and the mediator between God and man. Aren't you glad the angel said, call His name Emmanuel? That God is not sitting up there someplace and He doesn't care. He wound the earth up and the universe like a clock, set it out in space and said, let it wind down. When it's wound down, it's all over. No, He is instantly involved with this universe.
Thank you, Lord.
And He is instantly involved with you and I. He made you a promise. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you have ever been left? Yeah, my first girlfriend left me. Third grade. She left. Oh my, but I got over it pretty quick. Yeah. But some of you have been left and you know the sting. You know the hurt. Some of you have been left not just by somebody who walked away from you, but you've been left by loved ones who died. Sister Miranda today is down in the Caribbean with all of her family. They've come from California and Tulsa. They all met down there and they're on a boat cruising. They're going to spend Christmas without Bob. The first Christmas. How many of you know what that struggle is to be left? Somebody you've loved, somebody you've cared for, they're gone. But Jesus said to you, I'll never. Lois, He'll never leave you. He is there. Amen. God incarnate among us. And so God, reconcilable to us, at peace with us, and taking us into covenant and communion with Himself. I've had some precious times with Him.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
It's so good to know, you know. If you follow Buddhism, all you can do is bring that big fat statue in and set it on something and bow down to it. Amen. There are people in Japan, Shintoism. There are people in India. You know, in India they have over 3 million gods. How do you know which one to bow down to and serve? House that is their little chapel area, and they bring food in the morning and set it down to their God. And guess what? If they let it sit there too long, it'll start to rot. But I'm telling you what, every day, hallelujah, Jesus is there. Emmanuel is with us. He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. And when I need Him, He's always there to make intercession for me. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You see, Israel had God with them in types and shadows, dwelling between the cherubim, but never so as when He, the Word, was made flesh. Hallelujah! This Jesus did not come and hover like a flame of fire over Israel. He came in the flesh. The Shekinah glory of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was already existing. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. That's Emmanuel. Let's read it like this. In the beginning was Jesus already existing. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God.
Amen.
He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. And nothing was created except through Him. What a powerful force He was. He was with God. He is God. He existed in the beginning. And He is the Creator of all things. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. He breathed into Adam as a lump of clay, and Adam became a living soul, opened his eyes and had light.
Hallelujah.
That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Did you hear that? This one who was in the beginning, this one who was with God and was God, this one who created all things, John testified, He's coming to the world to give light to everybody. He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He gave to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all, hallelujah, to all who believe Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God in heaven. So the Word became flesh and made His home among us, and His name was Jesus. His name was Emmanuel, God with us. Stand with me this morning. Lift your hands and give glory to Jesus, who has saved you from perishing. Who has saved you from perishing. Who has saved you and made intercession for you. Give Him praise in the house of God. Hallelujah. Call His name with me. Jesus, 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 Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God, You are with me. God, You are with me.
Thank You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank You, Jesus.
Give Him praise in the house of God.